Thank you.
Yeah, so are we off the record at the moment?
No, I just started
No,
recording.
it's back.
Sorry, Chief and Wendy.
And I'll make sure that the Mayfields know about it. I think they'll be
We will send a
We lost the Wi-Fi for a
forward.
second. I
Yeah,
mean, that's
and I think
the frustration, I think.
still get a copy
of
of
it as
the
well.
findings
We have
also.
no team.
So
We've
where
listened and
would we
So
send
we
that?
have
Like
time.
data
Yeah, we
or
won't have any of her contact information. When you filed the complaint, you
it's
just
just
had your
oh, I send a
information.
copy.
you can send it to me, and that was like I completely failed to realize that she was not on the email, but I think this might have worked out just fine on the same this way. So I got to, and I know that she appreciates it.
Well, there are flaws in the system.
All right, Gavin.
So just so you know, I got a message from the OVC that they have a client that is agitated coming and going. So I'm just gonna make sure that they
We're gonna have to take over.
It's just been one of those days.
It is.
Anything that can go wrong.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for
Thank
us.
you. Thank you so much.
You still on record?
Yeah.
We're probably still on. Are we still on, you guys? Can you see us, hear us?
Yeah, I can
Yeah.
hear you.
I'm
It
sure.
is. It is always nice when they show up. That's not easy for this guy, right? It's not easy. If they haven't picked, right? He's not any of the names on
Well,
the
that's
list.
what I was wondering. And so I was like, are you the HR representative? Like I was curious. We'll have lots to talk about. Chief, do you know if that person survived or was he just shot at? Or can you even say that? Never mind. You can text me.
Let's look.
It does show up on here.
It was very controversial that he was coming.
Yeah.
My niece is texting me. She's at UVU too. She's texting me.
What?
Oh, she stood her
Oh.
class was as well. No, I just looked down. There was a
We'll give.
Kirk can be seen getting struck while speaking, sitting beneath a tent, and he's not really interesting
That's
clothing.
awful. But they knew that having him there was a
They
risk.
did. They did. And
They
they were.
did.
That's too bad.
He's okay. Is he okay? Like, is he?
I don't. That's what I just asked Chief, and then I was like, "Wait, never mind." Because I think we're still recording. Not that it's not going to be public knowledge anyway. I just didn't know.
Well, they're saying bleed shot.
They're saying he was, yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna hold off on KM for just a minute. We'll let Brandon come back in. Let's move on to AR. This complaint. They claim that their violation is that, or the victim right they feel like was violated was to be treated with fairness, respect, and dignity, and to be informed of the level of protection. It looks like the one that it is against the victim advocate in particular and the victim advocate program for Mill Creek. So this one, I tried to look up the case, and it is completely locked down by the detective. And so without him granting me access, I couldn't look at anything on Versatone, even like basic things. But in here, it just says they were discouraged from filing for CVR. And I'm wondering if because
When you say discouraged for filing, by whom?
by the victim advocate. And
Mel Creek?
yes, my thought is it sounds like maybe this victim, they did not want a full no contact protective order. They wanted to file for a no unlawful contact. It looks like this was a pretty significant event. But possibly we know that if a CVR with domestic violence, if they don't participate in the duration of the criminal proceedings, they will deny their claim. So it could have been that, and maybe not a not a good explanation as to why they were discouraged, or the conversation could have been, well, if they're not going to do that, I'm not even going to give them this information or not have them. It's really hard to say. I don't know because I can't see anything on this case.
But the victim was discouraged that she was, or AR was asked not to.
Yeah, discouraged from filing for CVR.
So the victim didn't agree with whatever the reason was.
Yeah.
But we don't know exactly why she was discouraged from filing.
No.
Mean, I do agree that it's not ever our place as victim advocates to pass outward judgment or certainly make a victim feel that we are judging them. I think we can give our thoughts and concerns as to why we're concerned or why, if they're like, I don't want to move forward or I want to sign. We just had this conversation with a few different advocates on the jail release agreements and what is the appropriate way or what is the duty of officers on scene when it comes to having a victim fill out the no contact order. And in the statute, it says that it should be written, but do we have duty or diligence to inform them of all their rights while we're on scene when we're explaining the process of being arrested? That's what this reminds me of is somebody feeling judged and everything not being explained appropriately, but it's really hard to know what those conversations looked like. And I was just saying, Brandon, I can oftentimes look on birth certificate and just get an idea of this case, but it's completely locked
Locked down,
down. So without permission from the detective, I can't
And so
get it.
you're saying when they are explaining things that right after the event happened, how the process is going to go?
Well, I'm just saying as an example that somebody may be explaining things, but it may not be
Received.
received
Right.
or
And that is all dependent on how many hours after or days after the event.
well, and I with this one, it just I think that they feel that they weren't treated with fairness. Because they didn't want to go for a full protective order. They wanted something different in place. Sounds like there's a lot of dynamics at play between her and the person that the crime was with. And that what I'm gathering is she did not feel supported or respected because it wasn't like a cut and dry, like, I'm done, I need to go against this. Does that sound like a fair assessment? Did everybody else get that too?
Just be kind of nice to know more.
So I'll make a motion to hold this one over that I think we do have an allegation of victims' rights violation and to reach out to the victim for more information.
I think I might disagree.
Okay.
Can I explore a little?
Yes,
So,
please.
which are you disagreeing with? That there was a violation?
That there was a violation.
Okay.
Not sure I agree. Because there's a, I think we're dealing with a tension here between best practices and victims' rights. And I think the victim absolutely has a complaint about best practices. I don't know if there's a victims' rights violation alleged. That's so.
What's the fine line?
So we've got the. So we've got the, let's see, so the violation of their right to be informed about the level of protection available to them. I don't think that right was violated. They knew the levels of protection. They just didn't appreciate the advocate's opinion about it or apparent opinion about it. And there isn't a right to be assisted in getting a protective order. That might be part of the advocate's job, but it's, I don't know that it's a right under the code. So I think the question here, it's a fairness respect anything, was it unfair or disrespectful? And I'm not sure. I mean, like, I don't know why the advocate this. So assuming all of it's true, which I think we have to do at this stage, unless we get in more information, but assuming all of it's true, I don't know why the advocate discouraged the CBR application. Maybe because the victim wasn't sounding like they were going to cooperate with the case.
That was my
We don't
assumption
know.
before you walked in.
Okay. And And then the other piece, like, so the victim says this was a highly lethal situation. So I have a hard time saying that it's fundamentally unfair for the advocate to express an opinion about the best kind of protective order. So I don't know. I don't know where. So my thought is, so I guess I don't know if I'm really fully disagreeing, but I'm on the fence about whether this is a question of best practices as opposed to a rights violation, or whether we need more information to determine which of the two it is.
I'm voting for the more information personally.
So
Some
maybe
people
we're
just
not
never will be.
alleging or sustain like alleging a violation. I just think we need more. That this is not a lot, but I think that when we're going to the respect and dignity, if they're not feeling respected because somebody is in the way that they're speaking to them, and like I said in the last case, you deal with so many personalities and how people speak to you in that process. So maybe the motion is, I think we just hold this over for more
Yeah,
information.
I agree. And if we can throw in, I know the victim didn't make the allegation, but there is the duty to inform victim of the procedures associated with the CVR application. So we may have a, depending on how that conversation went, I have a duty to, yes, educate a victim and say you may not qualify for the following reasons, but I still let them apply every single time. I give them the form, I facilitate it. I gently warn them that it's an application and it may not be a successful application, but I help people file claims I know will be denied every month.
But if the victim advocate said to her, based on what you've told me, there's a good chance CVR will not honor this application, to the victim that could be discouraged, right? She could read that as I was discouraged from filing an application. Right, it could still be the same thing. You could say you can file it, but I don't think your chances are good. That would be somebody could read that as I'm being discouraged from filing.
So you're saying we should figure out which one it is?
Yes, yeah, I think we just need to know.
Exactly. No, I agree.
So that Rachel and then Wendy, what did Wendy second, or you were just agreeing?
I will second.
Second, if Wendy doesn't want to give a second, for hell's sakes.
Wendy gave it a second.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and I'll just say any oppose. Okay, no, perfect.
So sorry, just to clarify, are we
Yeah,
finding violation and getting information?
more information.
With just
Okay,
more information.
requesting
Just
more
more information.
information. Yeah,
Yep.
before we make any findings.
Yep.
We say it's KM for you.
Yeah.
By the way, can I say, does the committee, do we already know? So Mr. Anderson's question on the EM case to like say which part of the code was violated or whatever. We know the answer because I
I would say dignity and respect is what
and I would throw in the word fairness.
fair,
It, it's, it's,
the
it's, it's
Utah
the it's the fairness,
Constitution.
dignity, and respect of the Utah Constitution is what I understood the committee to have found.
That's what I
Yes,
would
that's
encourage Rachel to put in the letter.
yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. KM.
AM. All right.
Brandon.
Okay.
I'm going to move down just so I'm not right there. Oh, because I'm sorry. So.
Katie has to be the latter one. Okay. So we've got multiple issues. So one of them that's still out there is it sounds like the victim didn't have a secure waiting area in court. That continues to be a concern to me that I think we should present to the commission. I think the commission should talk to all of the courts about having a designated secure waiting area for victims and witnesses. Okay. So then our other, okay, so then our next issue was her right to be heard at sentencing. And last time we talked about the sentencing audio where the victim did speak, interrupted for about 24 minutes, then a victim advocate spoke on her half, on her behalf at her request for about 5 minutes, also interrupted. And so the question was, but then she spoke to us last time and suggested that she had been previously limited. So we were going to check the previous hearing to see if the judge said we're only talking about this. So I reviewed that previous hearing, and at the previous hearing, the victim was present. The judge spoke to the victim, kind of talked to her, made sure that the scheduling of the sentencing worked for her. So there was discussion earlier in the hearing where the judge allowed the def wait, sorry, is this old news? Let me check. Sorry, there's a lot to this one.
There is a lot to this one. And I
So that
think
was
we were
restitution.
also wanting
Oh, I
the
got it.
restitution hearing because that was the other issue that she was not provided any information to either log on or send her stuff because she kind of got stonewalled at the AG's office.
Right. Okay. So she wasn't okay. So at that plea hearing, no limitations were placed on what she could say at sentencing. So my two cents is that I didn't see any evidence that the judge limited her right to be heard at sentencing, and I don't have enough, like I don't think she or anybody has provided us enough information to determine to a preponderance, which I think is our standard, to determine to a preponderance that the AG did something that like limited her statement, especially in light of the fact that she did give a pretty extensive 30-minute statement about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Okay, the restitution. Okay. So the restitution. So she had notice of the restitution hearing, and I realize I'm going a little bit back because yeah, she did jump to the point, but she was notified at sentencing of the restitution hearing date, and she got to help choose the date and the time, and the hearing was held when it was scheduled. So I think the only and the judge said she could attend by WebEx. So I think the only question is whether the AG's office is required under victims' rights to send her the WebEx link, and I guess we don't know whether they did. I don't think she has the right to appear by WebEx. I don't know that she has the right to have people remind her about the hearing. So I'm not sure I see a rights violation, even if they didn't follow through. I'm open to disagreement that a prosecution agency has the duty to make sure the victim gets on WebEx. I don't know. But I would also note that on restitution's still open. Like that's the only
Yeah.
thing that happened at the restitution hearing is the AG's office said she was going to send us info. She didn't send us any info, so the judge said, "Okay, we'll leave restitution open." So she continues. So she has a right to restitution. At the most, her restitution has been delayed. It hasn't been infringed. So she can file a motion at any time. Victims do have the ability to file restitution motions. I think she'd have the best luck if she went through someone like the Utah Crime Victims Legal Clinic. And these are second and third degree felonies, so the request just has to be filed within 3 years after the August sentencing, last August. So she's gotten to like August 2027, though I recommend soon. So those are my thoughts for a second.
Any other thoughts?
I mean, she can request a restitution hearing by the Board of Pardons, who's
I thought she
He's
had.
under their jurisdiction now, so they do that all the time. Make it part of his. It wouldn't be. Wouldn't take effect until the parole, which I assume is going to be several years from now.
Practically speaking, similar, since he's unlikely to have significant amounts of money that she can collect before parole.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing is that you are saying based on those things, and that there is no requirement to provide the restitution hearing, that you're not finding a violation.
Yeah, I'm ready to make a motion if you're ready for
If anybody else, yes, please. Yeah, okay. Yes, sir.
Wait, Wendy, Chief, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I'm good.
This is the case where she came in. I mean, we could be all with her and yeah,
Yeah.
remember that.
I'm very convinced that the defendant is where he belongs.
Yes. It's a shame it's only a second degree felony on first, but
Yes,
still.
absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so my motion is my motion. I would my motion is that the committee find what's our wording at the oh, I'm gonna use my wording and
That's okay.
fix it in post. My motion is to find that we have not been able to determine to a preponderance that her right to restitution was violated, and that we've not been able to find to a preponderance that her right to be heard at sentencing was violated. I would move to, sorry, one more, and then I would move to find, and I would move to find that due to the lack of a secure waiting area at the Matheson courthouse, that her right to a secure victim witness waiting area may have been infringed. But since we don't have information from the court, my recommendation would be that we refer that to the commission for further discussion.
I mean that hallway out there waiting around certainly is could be you could see it happening, right?
And we
Very
do.
easily. And it
And we do.
happens, yeah, it happens all the time. So that's is her not right to be heard, is I'm just thinking when we've had her talk, she had 30 minutes. I'm just thinking maybe she felt like she had a lot more than 30 minutes because she can talk. I wonder if she was told
I think he just let her wind down.
Oh, I'm surprised it only went 30 minutes.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna check it though while you guys discuss. I'm gonna check the transcript and see.
Because I could see her thinking she had more to say and was asked to limit it to 30 minutes or something.
Right.
I agree with what Brandon said, although I don't think we've ever used the word preponderance in our reply.
Not run by me, we haven't. Is that a second?
Yes.
Yes.
He's only objecting to my own.
I wasn't even objecting to that. I just said we haven't really used
That
objection to sounding like a weirdo.
was any opposed? Okay. Shall be done. I think we just new members, and I don't know that there is a county sheriff that really wants to do this.
There's only two other choices, right?
Yeah.
It just end. Oh, okay.
Hey, talk to Rosie a little. Is there a designee?
Rosie. Well,
Or does she?
Rosie does not want to make one. She doesn't feel like in
Okay.
my communications, she doesn't know that there's someone she, these are my words, not hers, but like trust enough to do it. But that's not, I'm sure that's not how she voted it. So I will make an effort to ask Tom to help us with the show. City attorney is probably more pressing. Do you
I
want to
will
reach
reach
back?
back out to Angela.
Okay.
Because her issue was the Mondays, right?
Her issue with the Mondays. And
who's Angela with?
South Salt Lake.
Oh, okay.
She used to be with the Board of Pardons before she was with South Salt Lake. And
Oh.
she was with the DA's office before that.
Yeah.
She goes way back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will reach out to her, and then we had the male attorney from Harriman that we had asked also, but it was the Mondays. And so I thought I would reach out to him also, and just at least try those two and go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
That's Angela Miklos, right? Well, she used to be the on the Crime Victims Council. When we had the Crime Victims Council, she was the board representative for years on
Well,
that.
I think she'd be great if we can make it work. All right, do we
Oh,
have
when I
a
first started, how long is that?
Oh, probably it's longer ago than I'm going to say, but it's
It was
probably
pretty.
10 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe not quite that, because it was Clark Harms after her.
I will in a second.
But it was probably 10 years ago.
Hey, Doug, do you want to make a motion? Oh,
I make a motion. What am I making a motion
to
about?
end us.
End the
Oh,
meeting.
yeah, hell
And
yes.
I'll second that.
I'll
I'm sending that all in favor.
Aye.
Bye.
Aye.
Bye.
Aye.
Bye.
Thank you,
Thank you.
guys.